So let's get started. Again, thanks for joining us. It's Jackie Wicks and JJ, and this is our live Q&A, and we will give you instructions about how to ask a question in a couple minutes. But most people do send in their questions beforehand, and then, of course, we send out the recording afterwards. So if you have to scoot off early, we will absolutely be posting this so you can have the whole thing. And so we will get started. JJ, I'll read number one.
Okay.
Background. So welcome. all right, so the background. I'm a 47-year-old premenopausal person. In 2009, I had
fibroadenoma.
It removed from my right breast. While it's not considered cancerous, the surgeon said that my probability of breast cancer occurrence has increased from 11% to 22%. Supplements that had adrenal in them were not recommended. I've had very low risk of breast cancer other than this incident because I'm not overweight with no family history. So my question is, can I use the Relora and Apostasin without the Cetiacin from the metabolic booster pack if the adrenal portion of the Cetiacin is a concern? Is the amount of adrenal in the Cetiacin something that I should avoid given my health history? This supplement set appeals to me because I struggle with carb cravings and emotional eating, which I balance out through over-exercise. I would like
I
to create a
this
more...
woman. She's just so...
I know.
So authentic. It's like, yay for you for being just...
I know. Right? I'd like to create a more balanced lifestyle by reducing the cravings.
You know what else I would add in here? It just kind of just came as a download. And I find I do this too. I think this is pretty common for us women, us gals, is where women, I think, tend to get into food stuff is we go, and then it's like the only thing we can do to nurture ourselves where we don't really feel like we shouldn't be taking time out. Like if you take a hot bath or get a massage, you're like, oh, should I really be taking the time? But, hey, we got to cook. You know,
right.
We got to eat.
Right.
And so the biggest download I get from this is actually away from the pills, and then I'll come back and address supplements, is you need to do something nice for yourself. I would love to see you taking a restorative yoga class. If you consider that to be nice, to me that would be like complete torture, and I'd want to shoot everybody in the class and go postal. But for some people, like doing and I laugh at that, Jackie, because I did this restorative yoga class with a friend who's very similar to me, and we're both looking at each other like,
what are we doing here?
Do it. And I'm like, I'm going to kill you. And he's like, I'm going to kill you. You know? You know? I was like, I want a massage. You know, for me, if I'm going to do something like really nice for myself, it is to go get a massage or to go get a pedicure or something like that. So the number one thing I'd love to say to this woman is, why don't we build in some real downtime balancing things? Because you say, I struggle with carb cravings and emotional eating, which I bounce through over exercise. And to me, it's like all push, push, push. I like get this energy through this thing, right? And I'd love you to just go, start the morning with some intentioning. What are you going to do? What's great? What are you grateful for? I do this every day, by the way.
I did it this morning. It's a completely different day when you do it. Completely different.
Totally. And yesterday I had just this, I was off my rocker yesterday and I was like, okay, intention strong. What are you grateful for? And then what are you going to put in for balance in there? Because supplements are great. Hey, I love supplements. I take my Dixie cup of supplements every day. But they can't mask, you know, a bad lifestyle. And so, you know, it's like I just feel like a lot of what you're doing is go, go, go and support you, go, go, go. And I'd like to say slow, so slow. So that would be my first thing. The second thing is I don't really get, and I can never tell you to do something different than what your doctor said. So you got to realize I can't say that. I don't understand where he would get the idea that an adrenal glandular has any impact on breast cancer. And, in fact, to me, looking just at it from a science standpoint, it would seem to have the exact opposite impact because if you have better adrenal support, you're going to have better hormone balance, and it's the imbalance of hormones, the poor estrogen metabolism, maybe more of the bad estrogen metabolites, maybe lower progesterone levels that, you know, can also help put you at risk for breast cancer. Of course, it depends on if it's an estrogen receptor positive or a progesterone receptor positive or what type of cancer it is. But I don't understand how adrenal support would be a bad thing. I can't wrap my brain around it. I often wonder with doctors if they're not up on it, they're down on it, just saying. But we can never go against what the doctor says, although you could always get another opinion from another doctor. But what I would say is this, is what is in cetiacin that I really love about it, that you could still mimic elsewhere, is, of course, there's some blood sugar balance with the chromium. Well, you're probably getting that from your core basics that you're taking. If you're taking the daily nutrient packs or you're taking extra nutrients, you know, you should be taking a good, solid multivitamin mineral antioxidant formula. That's why I designed the daily nutrient packs Thorne has and made them make them. And they have
and those are available in our shop. People buy them all the time.
Good,
so they're right there.
By the way, that is what everybody, that's just the foundation. You take those preferably twice a day, but if someone is at all economically challenged and they're saying, oh, I'm just going to go get like those crappy things at Costco. Did I say, I swear I'm going to get sued today. It's like, so let's say you buy the cheap, you know, poorly absorbed something at somewhere. I'd rather see you take one packet of the really high-quality stuff than a lot of something that's really not going to do it for you because it's got mag stearate that can impact absorption and maybe some lesser forms of the nutrients. Okay, so that's step one. So you're probably already getting chromium. The next thing's in there, tyrosine and 5-HTP. Well, if you're finding that you're getting, you know, stress lowers both dopamine and serotonin. We know that. And I find for a lot of people where it really hits is in serotonin. And so if you're finding that you've got sleep issues, carb and sugar cravings, I would tell you to just take 5-HTP outside. You know, you're not going to take cetiacin, but take 5-HTP in addition to the apostatin and the Relora Plus. The other thing in there, if you're taking the packets that we designed, you're getting the grape seed extract in there already, which I love. If you've got a risk of breast cancer, I'm going to tell you that the best thing you could be using is use the MetaClear SGS shake every day with the SGS is Crucera. It is broccoli extract, and for anyone, and we all should be thinking we're at risk for cancer. I mean, I don't want us to think that way because it's negative, but the bottom line is you're living in this world, and diabetes, heart disease, and cancer are the big things that take us down. Dementia and things like that are just make our life just stink. So why not be preventive and proactive? And that MetaClear SGS shake, which I had a hand in, is a really good cleanse shake with pea rice protein that happens to taste great. It's chocolate, but it's got this sulforaphane in it that is incredible. It's a phytosomal extract. It's very well absorbed, and anyone at any risk for cancer should be on sulforaphane. So I'd love to see, if it were me, I'd love to see you on MetaClear SGS. I'd love to see you putting some calming activities into your day, 5 to 10 minutes every day, and then working a massage or something that gives you that kind of, ooh, you know, at least once a month. The more you can do it, the better. And I'm saying once a month because it's something I've had to put into my schedule, and I know that I won't do it more than once a month, even though I think that I'm going to do it every week. I never seem to be able to make the time for it. Shame on me. And then 5-HTP taken separately, and see, you can take from 1 to 3 capsules of this to see how much you need, and it's 5-hydroxytryptophan is probably how it's listed on the store. And then the apostatin and the Relora Plus. I got to tell you, I think the Relora Plus is going to be one of the most amazing supplements for you on the planet. I am so in love with this.
I take it too. It's the most calming. It makes you very calm. I don't know if that's intention.
Well, yeah, it's really supposed to be that person that hydra. It's for us, Jackie. I was like, going, you know, that fast charging, high driving, all over the place. You know. So I used to use a lot of GABA, and I found that if I just take Relora Plus on a regular basis, way better. So it can really help with that stress eating. It can help with adrenal support. So I think you could get a lot of this through using the Relora and probably be fine. You know, the other option, if that is not enough in terms of your adrenal health, we still have one other option that we could build into the mix. So if you still feel like at that point, and I will tell you, you know, being totally candid here, there are times that I have just really managed to hammer my adrenals. And when I get to that point, I will add in a little extra adrenal support. So if you get to that point, there is a product from Thorne called Phytosone. And there is no, we tend to like to use adrenal, real adrenal, part of the adrenal gland in supplements because it's amazing for rebuilding the adrenals. But that's what your doctor said not to use. And this Phytosome is a totally botanical nutritional supplement, so it would still be okay. It's non-glandular. So it's just got all the adaptogenic herbs in there. So I would start with Relora and Appostation, and then if you feel like you still, and you can try the 5-HTP, especially at night, and then if you still feel like your adrenals could use a little more help, the Phytosone would be the way to go. But I have a feeling that you're going to be fine if you just put lifestyle stuff in place too.
That was a really good prescription there. And of course, you know, as you said, you don't, we're not going against your physician. You should definitely consult with your physician and also just gather the information for yourself so that you can make, you know, your own informed decision. Because you're really the, you know, everybody is really the ultimate arbiter of their health and their, you know, their regimen.
Yeah, and the thing is, when you go to a doctor, you're getting an opinion. If
mm-hmm,
you went
exactly.
to 10 doctors, if you went to 10 nutritionists, if you went to 10 trainers, if you went to 10 realtors, you know what I mean? If you go to 10
yes.
of them, you're going to get 10 different opinions. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, make sure that it's an opinion you value and trust. And if it doesn't sound quite right, get another opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think, like, the two biggest concerns for me for cancer, but also for anything in terms of health, are stress and toxicity. I mean, I think those are the two highest risk situations or activities or whatever, I don't know what you call them, situations that we face. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to do everything you can to support stress. I mean, obviously, and again, I healed my adrenals. I remember one year spending like a night or two at the beach watching the sunset and healed my adrenals. So, you know, I was doing the other nutrient support too, but I don't think I would have done it without the sunset at the beach.
That's a great visual.
Mm-hmm.
And I also just want to say, if you're feeling, because so many of us do feel reluctant asking questions to our physicians, or we don't feel quite right, or maybe we feel stupid, or, I mean, I know even people that are embarrassed about things, so they won't talk about it. You know, really try your hardest to develop a good relationship with your physician, because dynamics can be at play with anybody, and there really are physicians that you can really speak to, and then there are physicians that you just don't have chemistry with, and you know, always make it just make it sort of a goal where if you're feeling uncomfortable, you know, just don't even question it. Either get to a place where you feel comfortable, or, you know, really develop a relationship with a physician where you feel comfortable, you don't feel stupid, you don't feel embarrassed to really get the information that you need.
Exactly.
Public service announcement.
Thank you for that, Jackie.
Leilani's on the line. She is our moderator, and she will be telling everybody on the call how you can ask a live question. So, Leilani, thank you and welcome.
Okay. If you have a question, please press star zero. Again, that's star zero if you have a question.
Great. And we'll go on to the next question and then ask Leilani if, because sometimes people are kind of shy on the live call. So number two, background on a previous cleanse Q&A, Jackie mentioned her struggle with pizza. I was laughing about that. JJ stated that the more we crave the highly inflammatory foods, the more we needed to stay away from it. For me, this is hands down peanuts. Question, what is happening chemically in our bodies that causes this reaction and craving? Will the metabolic booster pack help this craving for peanuts, soy, eggs, dairy, gluten, or corn? As always, I appreciate your scientific and detailed explanations.
This, I'll tell you a story. You know, it's so funny. I like to say that with the men I date, I leave them better than I found them. I should probably start a service because they're so well-trained and healthier. And one of them, you know, they always want to get tested. Oh, test me. And so I remember I was dating this guy, and he probably ate, I don't know, he could have been on Freaky Eaters with the amount of peanut butter he ate, right? every night probably about a half a jar. And I'm thinking, oh, I know what's going to show up on this food sensitivity test. It is clear, right?
Right.
And, yeah, sure enough, it was peanuts. And so he actually did fine. He just became addicted to almond butter. And I rotated him off of almond, cashew, macadamia, so the same thing wouldn't happen. But he did go through this little downtime, and I'll tell you about that. When you're eating a food, so remember that food sensitivities or food reactions are really much more of a measure of your integrity of your small intestine. Your small intestine is meant to be a semi-permeable membrane that lets some things out, but not all things out. You don't want, like, you know, gut bacteria and poorly digested food particles heading out into circulation because your body goes, ooh, that shouldn't be here, and it will launch an immune attack, okay? So most of us, however, end up with guts that are more permeable than they should be. We have these tight junctions in the guts that hold everything in the way it should be. But the problem is gluten, especially. Gluten actually loosens the tight junctions. Stress does. That's when I got my whole leaky gut, was when I went and got under extreme stress. So, and it created a whole brand for me. So, see, there's always a silver lining. And medications, a lot of medications, especially the anti-inflammatory medications, poor gut flora. So there's a variety of things that can start to loosen these tight junctions and make your gut more permeable so that when you eat things, and especially if you've got impaired digestion due to too much fluid or low stomach acid, you've got problems with the little microvilli of the small intestine. They're not absorbing things well, especially if you've got some of that going, which I would let you know that if you're over the age of you know, I was going to say 20, but it could be younger. For some babies, it's like immediate. If you're over a certain age, it's pretty much everybody's got some of this going on. It's pretty much impossible not to, just like I'm still trying to find that person who's not under stress, right? So you're eating foods, and let's say they're not broken down well, and bigger particles are passing into circulation. Your body's launching an immune attack by creating antibodies that glom on to these antigens from these foods to make immune complexes. Now, in a perfect world, those immune complexes, your body has these little macrophages, which are like Pac-Man, and they eat them up, and they get rid of them. And so we go. We're all cool, except that if you look at the way most people eat, and if you look at the standard American diet of gluten, eggs, soy, corn, peanuts, dairy, everything's got that stuff in it. All the processed food has got most of that in it. And so you're getting those same things day in, day out, and your body can't get rid of – and the antibodies, by the way, are specific to the antigen. So you've got antibodies for dairy and antibodies for gluten and antibodies for corn. So all of a sudden you've got these immune complexes building up, and the macrophages can't get rid of them quickly enough, and they're sitting out there. And that's when you start to feel these low grade, not immediate, because they had to build up, and it's sort of like a frog being boiled. They're building up, and you're going, yeah, you know, I'm feeling a little tired. I'm feeling a little nasally. My skin's like a little funky. I'm feeling a little blah. But you never, it's never like womp. It's just this like low grade, the volume's turning up, and you're just kind of going, I guess this is normal for me. So then you find out about the Pure Trainer Fresh Start Cleanse, and you jump all into pulling out these foods that could be holding your health hostage. And the first couple days, and I will tell you, I warned you about this, Jackie, remember? Because I said, listen, people are going to pull these foods out, and the first couple days, they get mean.
Cranky. Very cranky. Complainy.
Yes, very complainy. And I warned her because I knew that their customer service people were going to get hammered. Because I've been doing this for years. And, you know, my customer service people are like, did you tell a bunch of people to drop this again? And I'm like, uh-huh. And it's actually incredibly great because what happens is your body's got all these immune complexes sitting out there, and it's got these antibodies lying in wait now for, let's say, the peanuts. Mm-hmm. Well, you don't give it the peanuts. And the antibodies, it's sort of like a drunk guy at a singles bar. He's like waiting mm-hmm. for that gal, you know, mm-hmm. and she's not there, and he's getting mad, right? He's getting crabby. Mm-hmm. He's getting more aggressive.
Yeah.
So
right.
It's sort of like that. They're waiting there, and they're like, where is it? And they're going to make you crave that food, so you'll give it to them so that those antibodies can glom onto antigens and make immune complexes, because they're not supposed to just hang out there as antibodies, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you will be craving that very food. And then when you create that immune complex, it's inflammatory. So that's where
mm-hmm.
this whole thing happens. So what's very cool is if you reframe this, you know, I mean, it's just like when I remember the first time my older son hit his head. He hit his chin on a chair, and he bled. And I'm like, you know,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, and, you know, and honestly, it was like maybe a, you know, symbol of blood. But to me, I was like, do we need to go to the ER? You know?
Right.
And then your second kid, comes along, and you're like, you're fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
No biggie.
I know. I know.
Yeah. Like, get over it.
So true.
Yeah. Anyway. So where was it? My PR agent's like texting me, can you go to Fox in the morning? I'm like, no. So the bottom line is, when you first pull it out, you are going to crave it. And so
mm-hmm.
that's great. It's awesome. Now, the plant enzymes can help break up some of those allergenic complexes so you get through it faster, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it only lasts 3 to 7 days. That's why I tell people it's going to go away and you'll feel better. Now,
mm-hmm.
so that then goes to the second part of the question. The metabolic booster pack, I was like, the booster pack, it's not
mm-hmm.
meant to help with that piece of this, because it's a 3 to 5 to 7 day transient process. That metabolic booster pack is really to support, you know, that more like carb cravings, sugar cravings, right? That carb and hunger appetite. You'll see people have more carb and sugar cravings due to stress because they're lower serotonin, or a bigger appetite either due to genetics or due to stress. Again, with the sugar cravings, could be genetic sweet tooth as well. So the metabolic booster pack is set up to help support a healthy metabolism, you know, help reduce cravings, help reduce appetite, and help with stress-induced eating. That's different than this. This is transient. You don't need help with this. You just need to muscle your way through it and, you know, call a friend and complain is my
mm-hmm.
advice.
And, you know, some people have said that from the metabolic booster pack, what I've heard anecdotally is that the after-dinner cravings, when, you know, really hits you hard, one person just wants cheese and crackers every single evening, and she started on the metabolic booster pack, and she just said it's gone. Like, that particular craving is just gone, which
wow.
I found very interesting. I know. I mean, can you imagine the cheese and cracker? I mean, you know.
Yeah, but you know, here's
pizza.
The thing, and this is what I think is so important, and it brings up another point with this. Dairy and gluten. Gluten has glutamorphines. Dairy has caseomorphines. They have a drug-like effect on the brain that creates cravings. I was at a meeting for my publisher the other day, and so we had 60 sales reps, and I got, like, cornered by these women saying, come on, tell us what you eat. Tell us what you're craving. Tell us. And I go, you know, I don't really have cravings.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really what happens to me. I don't really have that. And
mm-hmm.
they couldn't buy into it. They couldn't get it. They were like, sure you do. I go, no, you know, when you pull out these types of foods, you really
mm-hmm.
end up without cravings, because, you know, these things happen. You get cravings a lot because of this drug-like effect of the food that, by the way,
mm-hmm.
is built into a lot of the processed foods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah, when you're not eating the sugar, then you don't crave the salt, and then you eat the salt, and then you crave the sugar. There's not a lot of back and forth. And for a lot of people, I think that's what's so good. It takes the 2 weeks or the, you know, they're on the third week, and suddenly they take a bite of a piece of bread because they've reintroduced something, or they were at a party and they say, oh, well, I've just been doing this for 2 weeks, so let me do it. And they're shocked that they can taste the sugar or they can taste the salt. It doesn't actually taste good anymore to them, which is very interesting.
Yeah. I mean, what about, and talk about when that happens, like the freedom that you get. I mean, it's amazing.
I know.
So that's one of those
yeah.
things that you don't really talk about. That is a huge benefit, is that you can do something like this and you get free of those cravings. And that's a different type of craving. I mean, when you have a craving for a food sensitivity food, or you have a craving for, like, gluten or cheese, you're ready to go out and just go crazy. I mean, it's a real druggy-like feeling.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. 100%, especially, like, absolutely. And so many people have that ingrained pattern of they have a fight with their mom, so they have to go get that specific, you know, Milano cookie bag that they always do. And it's, you know, A+, but it's an automatic pilot kind of thing. So it's very interesting when we see people that have done this, and they've mixed up their patterns. They've mixed up that automatic pilot, and I love that you put together this metabolic booster that helps these people that just said, you know, have thought, gosh, you know, don't I just have enough discipline? What's wrong with me? And almost takes out that question.
Yeah, and I mean, I really want to get that through to people because, you know, I think we kick our butts ourselves so much about discipline and willpower, and it's like, we have a food industry that is determined to prey on our, you know, our biology. And
no
they're
question.
Putting things in place so that we will. I mean, my gosh, McDonald's French fries have gluten coating.
Oh, God.
You know? I mean, they are coated with gluten. It is like you're eating little drug sticks.
I did not know that they were coated with gluten. Coated with gluten, that was, I think, the only thing that I thought my husband could eat if he was stuck at a McDonald's years ago. Wow. I did not know that.
Well, and he used to eat that, and he can't eat gluten.
No, he can't. I mean, he would always have a reaction. Anyway, we'll skip that for now. Let's see if
but
we
still did it. Okay.
No, he didn't. We didn't know. I didn't know until this second when you just said that. So that's why it's so wild. He thought that was the only thing because it's potato. You know, even though it wasn't nutritious at all, if he was starving because we just hadn't prepared well and we were traveling or something, he thought the one thing he could eat in the McDonald's was French fries. And he never felt well afterwards anyway. So I can't believe, you know, this is the moment that I'm learning that had a coating of gluten on it. It's so interesting. Leilani, do we have anyone that wants to ask a live question?
Not at this time.
Okay, great. So we will go
to... Hearing how slow we've been on our first two questions, that might be good.
I know. Oh, my gosh. Number three, is it normal to have a reemergence of allergy symptoms during the cleanse as the body detoxes? I seem to have much more pronounced allergy symptoms, sneezing, itchy nose and eyes. I'm wondering if it's just part of the detox process or if I may be allergic to something in the shake or some other substance I am ingesting. Thank you.
So
Sassy93.
So I am guessing... in general, when you detox, and, you know, remember, detox is a continuum. So trading your horrible, artificially sweetened soda for sparkling water is a detox. Trading your pesticide-laden coffee for decaffeinated espresso organic is a detox. Trading milk for coconut milk is a detox, right? So there's a continuum of detoxification all the way up to using more like the more of a detox type of program like the detox packets and or that MetaClear SGS or MetaClear Plus. So using things that really accelerate detox, which is why we're using the detox packets. When you start to accelerate detoxification, what you may see is you might smell a little funky at first because you're pushing the stuff out through your skin. Your poops might look a little bit odd at first because you're getting rid of stuff there. And you might have rashes, or I still remember the first time I did a real cleanse, and I'm like, someone should have told me I was going to get, like, you know, cystic boily things. It was like, bummer. but I kept thinking to one of my mentors who said, better out than in. It's like, all right. What I see the most common, though, are rashes on the torso. That's what I see the most. Now, the sneezy, itchy nose and eyes, more pronounced allergy symptoms, I don't usually see that. I still would look at that and think that there's either something in one of the products or something else you're doing or time of year that is causing that. And there is a product that is just amazing that's so underutilized. For any kind of seasonal allergies, I'm going to give you a couple things, since you brought those up, that I just think are rock stars. Number one, there's one you can get anywhere, and I've been running around the country. It's funny, now I'm getting known for this, and I thought, well, it's kind of goofy. Is this product called Alkalol, and it's sort of I call it the Advanced Technology Neti Pot. But it's a neti pot type of thing where you sniff up the saline into your nose, but it's got herbal extracts, botanicals that are just, it's kind of this refreshing strong, but it kills all the icky microbes and moisturizes and soothes your nasal passages. So that's just one. I have it in all of my medicine cabinets at home, and it is amazing. So that's the first one. The other one that I love is quercetin. And quercetin is one of the most amazing antihistamines. Like, when you look at antihistamines, vitamin C is a natural antihistamine, and then quercetin is a massive, amazing antihistamine that just isn't really ever talked about or used. So I will tell you, Thorne's got one that I really love because it's not just quercetin. It's also got bromelain in it, and so it's going to also have a really nice anti-inflammatory effect, and it's called quercinase. So I would stress to you getting on that store, getting this quercinase stuff, and anyone who's an allergy type of person, that's just something that you would love to have around. It is really incredible stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Quercinase.
Great.
Sure. Okay.
So the next one, background, I've been doing the cleanse since October, and I've had great results. I've lost almost 20 pounds. Wow, that's amazing. 8 more to my goal weight, and I've had more energy, slept better, fewer restless leg syndrome issues, lowered my allergy meds dose, no longer have cravings for sugar and carbs. My weight has pretty much stabilized this past month. For the last 2 weeks, I've been using the Thorne products. Previously, I used another brand, Shakes and Fibers, but she's not using the vitamins. Question, I've had 2 problems. I've been very gassy lately, which I can track directly to the use of these new products. 2, I am losing hair by the handful. Each morning, I lose enough to fill the shower drain twice. My hair is almost shoulder length, so not terribly long. I'm not positive when the hair loss started, though I'm pretty sure it was actually before I made the switch to Thorne. It seems to be getting worse. Luckily, I have thick hair, but I do not relish the thought of going bald. Any thoughts about what might be causing this? I have not previously had this problem to this extent. Thank you.
So I have a question, unfortunately, and if she's anywhere on the line, I'd love to know it, because she said something very telling. I have not previously had this problem to this extent. So,
yes, that last line, yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
when I hear this, here's what
I want
you to do, Darcy. Number one, I want you to go get your thyroid checked. Now, Dr. Alan Christensen, who I refer all my thyroid people to, who's in Scottsdale. He does second consults for a lot of people. He's brilliant. Google him. MyIntegrativeHealth.com, I believe, is his site. But Idiot's Guide to Thyroid Disease, great book. You need to have a TSH, a free T3 and T4, free T3. Make them do that. They'll try not to do it. Make them do it. And then make sure they include thyroid antibodies. You've got to check this. When you look at classic thyroid symptoms, losing your hair, thinning eyebrows, yellowing skin because you're not converting your beta-carotene to vitamin A, high cholesterol, cold, dry skin, constipated. So if any of those, low energy, difficulty losing weight. So if any of those were like, that's me, let me know, think about it. But I do want you to, because you said I've previously not had this problem to this extent, I'm thinking, I can tell you very clearly that supplements are not causing your hair to fall out. I mean, there's hands down, the supplements are not causing your hair to fall out. Now, as far as being very gassy, absolutely.
The digestive enzymes, right? That you're,
well,
you're,
I mean, here's
you're...
the thing. Number one, back down off the – so when someone says they're gassy, I don't know what's going on. See, I don't know which things that she's taking. So I'm going to give you a couple different things to look at. So she's using the shakes and fiber. Okay. I'm guessing it's the fiber and you're adapting to this fiber. So I would back down, take it out, and then I'd start with just a half a scoop and build it up. And see how you do. OK, Okay, so that's what I do, is I would just back down off the fiber and then build it up. Here's why people get gassy. Number one, they might be reacting to either sugars or artificial sweeteners, so that's not an issue here. Number two, they might have gut bacterial overgrowth. It's called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. This is getting so darn common, and it really is an overgrowth of bad bacteria and an imbalance between the healthy bacteria in the gut and the bad bacteria. And the bad news with that is that bad bacteria actually extracts more calories from the food you eat and stores them as fat. So you can get fat barely eating. And I had a client that this happened to. And you feel more bloated as the day goes on, whether or not you eat. So you get to the point where you don't even want to eat because you're bloated no matter what. It's awful. And what you have to do with that is kill off the bad bacteria first before you add in the probiotics. So what I have people do with that is hit it hard. I love berberine. I swear, berberine is like now my new favorite nutrient. It was curcumin for a while, but berberine has now jumped in the lead for what it can do because it also balances blood sugar. But it is the most amazing antimicrobial, anti-yeast deal. So I have them hammer it with berberine, you know, 2 grams or more a day, and then after a month, 2 months, we'll back it up with a really good probiotic. And Thorne just came out with the most biggest rock star probiotic of all time, this Floramint Prime. So I'd then add that in. If it's yeast, and I know I saw this question further down the road, so I'll just address that now. With yeast, I tend to use the probiotic Saccharomyces boulardii. So it's called Sacro-B with Thorne. And then I tag team that, and we're going to get, I use something called undecanoic acid. And it turns out Thorne's going to put that with berberine, so that's coming soon. But for now, it's SF722, which goes down in history as one of the worst poorly named supplements of all time. And I finally found the story behind that. It was that they called it like Candida Killer, and the FDA or the FDC was like, you can't call it that. So they just switched it over to their SKU, hence the stupid name. So the answer to this gassy thing then is, you know, titrate up your fiber. If you don't titrate up fiber, it will give you gas initially. Remember, you really need to be eating good fiber because it feeds the good bacteria in your gut. But if you have a bunch of bacteria in your gut, it may just be creating an overall feeding frenzy. So if you're not finding, you know, the gas backing down, I would start to look at that small intestinal bacterial overgrowth and hammer it with the Berber caps. And let me give you a recommended amount of that. I'll figure out where the heck they are. And then backdoor in the probiotics. You know, things people tend to get gassy more on food from sugar and artificial sweeteners and then sugar alcohols. So, but and you're not getting anything there that would be creating a problem. Okay, let me see where the Berber caps are. There they are. So, and we're also getting a higher dose Berber cap because you'd really need, you need to take 10 of these. You're going to be jamming through them. But within another couple weeks, we're getting a higher dose Berber cap, too. Yay. So there you have it. Did I answer everything?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Do we have any other, Leilani, do we have any live callers just before we go into the next one? I don't want anyone just hanging on.
Not at this time.
Okay. So the next one, background, my husband has several issues that I think are related to diet, and I wanted your thoughts. Besides being lactose intolerant, he has joint pain in his ankles and knees, he has stomach acid problems, and he has psoriasis. He doesn't need to lose any weight, but he loves his sweets. My question, I wondered if the psoriasis is related to what he eats as much as the other health issues probably are. I listened to your call regarding rosacea and thought psoriasis might be also be related similarly. I am thinking he's a perfect candidate for the cleanse.
Heck yeah, he is.
Yeah,
and you
of
know,
course.
Here's the thing. Weight's one part of it. You know, I mean, weight is one small part of it. It's like if he's not overweight, that doesn't mean he's healthy. Let
yes,
that sink
exactly.
In. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, completely. And that's the thing is that people think that they are. I mean, there are a lot of underweight people that are not healthy at all. So it's unfortunately, you know, the public's gauge on that can be really skewed.
Right. So I'm looking at this and I'm going, and you are so right on the money. My husband has several health issues that I think are related to diet. Joint pain in ankles and knees, absolutely. Stomach acid problems, absolutely. If he's having to be, boy, I hope he's not on the purple pill or one of those types of things. There are the rare people that need to be on those because they really do have an issue, but most people don't have high stomach acid. They have low stomach acid that that is the reason they can't digest well. So the food sits in their stomach, and then it starts to wash back up on the esophagus because it's sitting there, and the acid then sits there and washes back up. So most people, it's not a high situation. If it's high, it's generally when you're younger, and that a lot of times is due to H. pylori. Anyone that I have who comes in with heartburn, when they're younger, I'm going to check H. pylori. Heartburn 30+, I'm going to look at diet. I'm going to look at stress, which can make you more acidic. As we know, that's when I've gotten heartburn, is when I'm very stressed out. Or I'm going to look at low stomach acid. And so often you can give them digestive enzymes and it goes bye-bye. And then psoriasis. I've seen psoriasis totally clear by pulling out eggs, gluten, and dairy. So there. I believe the psoriasis is totally related to what he eats. You could have the genetic disposition to psoriasis but not flip the switch if you don't eat wrong. So I would look at this with digestive enzymes. If he has any kind of ulcerative situation going on, then make sure you keep it to things like plant enzymes. Talk to his doctor first. But without that, then you're good to try all the enzymes. But again, I would absolutely look at enzymes, and I would absolutely look at something to help with leaky gut whenever I hear joint pain, like PermaClear is the most amazing stuff. And I know Habib has become like a PermaClear.
Oh, it's just, you can't even imagine what is going on with him. He's taken this PermaClear. We actually had some content written for the gut, you know, sort of what it helps with. And his skin, everything, you know, you mentioned earlier that a common thing are rashes on the torso, which he absolutely has had. And what's interesting is once he started taking this PermaClear, his skin, I haven't seen his skin like this in years. It just, his whole demeanor, he always has a lot of energy, but I always notice the skin changes based on the diet or based on different things. And this PermaClear has had a huge effect positively.
Yay. Yeah, I think it's an amazing product because I love to throw glutamine at people and a lot of it to help them with gut healing, but it definitely takes quite a long time to get going, but it's great and it works. But then this, I love compound formulas that give you a much more comprehensive approach. So with this, you're getting glutamine, but you're also getting N-acetylglucosamine, SACB, and bacillus coagulans, so a nice probiotic hit.
Yeah,
quercetin,
which great.
I already talked about, that's reducing the histamine response, and then quercetin and ginger are both amazing anti-inflam. So it's really helping with inflammation, healing the gut, promoting good gut flora, and supporting good, healthy gut immune system. It is like one of these sleeper products that when I saw it, I'm like, oh my gosh, you know.
Yeah, and one thing to always remember about the supplements is that people think, okay, well, I'm just going to start adding more ginger to your tea, to my tea, or I'm just going to try to get this in the natural way. And I definitely make an effort, as much as all of us do, but there's so many times that we're not going to be able to remember to get the fresh ginger at the store, so it gets skipped, and then the habit gets the habit stops being formed. And it's just so good to have these kinds of things that can help you supplement and just accentuate, you know, just supplement the diet. So,
yeah. And I, again, we started out this whole thing by saying, hey, let's start with how you eat and how you live. You know, I mean, one of the first recommendations I made to someone was like, do some massage, take some downtime. So
yes,
those always are the foundation, you know, how you eat, how you move, what you do for downtime, how you think. All those are the foundation. If that's crappy, pills aren't going to fix things. So, I mean, that's modern medicine is let's walk in totally broken and crappy. Let's not address that and take this pill. That is not the way this flies.
There's
know?
A pill for that. I know. That's the
There's
common thing. There's
that.
A pill
that's
for that.
So, again, let's start with diet. Let's start with exercise. But, yeah, you know what? You're not going to be able to get enough ginger or absorb it or curcumin or absorb it, you know, or resveratrol. Can't drink enough wine. Habib, if you're listening, you can't drink enough wine to get the resveratrol, you know. So, and the way that Thorne's put them together, they create an exclusive agreement with Endina that does this phytosomal extract so that things are very well absorbed. So, you know, and you are what you absorb, aren't we? You know?
Yes. That's really the key. And that's what happens for people. They say, but I'm doing so well, and they're not absorbing all this great nutrient stuff that they're eating, and they can't figure out what's going on. So it's such a great point, what you just said.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, I sound like my daughter. It's such a great point, what you just said. She's all, my five-year-old is trying to construct a sentence.
Yes, English is my first language.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so moving on to the next question. I am continuing with the shakes and slowly battling my addictions with both sugar and starchy carbs. My question is, I've lost more inches than pounds. I'm so scared now to have any sugar or starchy carbs, a good thing, because of the inches coming back. I'm used to seeing weight loss on the scale more than seeing the inches lost in my body. Does this mean that the food I was eating caused me to hold on to the fat, or that I was allergic? And will the weight on the scale eventually go down with my continuing to have shakes and staying away from the sugar and the carbs?
By the way, I love her name. Anyway, this is such a pretty name. So first off, I want to remind you, you skipped question six. So.
Oh, I did? Oh, I did. Oh, okay.
However,
so we'll definitely go back to that.
This question underlines something really important. It's not what you weigh. It is what that weight is made up of. And I used to just tear my hair out with women because they'd come in and they'd have dropped a dress size or two, and their weight would be the same, or actually even, I had one woman who dropped two dress sizes and gained a couple pounds. Because when she walked in, she was so toefy, thin outside, fat inside, and had such low muscle mass that she was just one big squish, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because she was actually, you know, you would never have thought of her as really overweight, but she was definitely over fat. So what I don't have here for information that's so key is, well, what was your body fat to begin with and your weight, and what is it now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to know, because ultimately, when you go on a program, you're not looking to lose weight, you're looking to lose fat.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking
mm-hmm.
to lose size. So
mm-hmm.
if you went down two dress sizes and you look better naked, but your weight didn't change, do you care? Like if I said to you, hey, here's your two options. You can go down two dress sizes and look better naked, or you can drop 10 pounds and look the same.
Mm. I mean, we're such a slave to that number.
Aren't
people
we?
Just get in a,
but,
people
yeah,
get in
but
a
I
bad
want to weigh
mood.
X, you know?
I know.
It's like you can almost hear it.
And we wonder where these very specific numbers and these expectations we have come from. And I see people in a bad mood if they are on the scale that morning and it says a certain number can literally, you know, to get them off on a different track. And it's
absolutely.
Just such a good point that you're making, is that, you know, you're just focusing on what is made up of that. What is that weight made up of?
So what I would say to you is, I don't know how much weight you have to lose, like where you're at, what your body fat is. I don't have any of that information. In general, if you are reacting to some foods, it's making you more inflamed. So you will have what we call false fat. It makes it harder for you to burn it off because you become more insulin resistant. You get better at storing fat. It's harder for you to burn it off. So when you get on the scale initially, your body fat will be higher. Your weight will be higher. Then you're going to start losing that, and fairly rapidly. And then depending on what else you're doing, you know, if you're starting to do more resistance and burst style training, it usually takes a couple weeks because of the training effect. Like if you've never been exercising and you just start to exercise, you're not going to all of a sudden go, wow, this week I put on a pound of muscle. Because the first couple weeks you start exercising, you never really have before, you have what we call it's all this neural part of it where your nerves and muscles are learning how to talk to each other, and you don't really see an increase in mass. And women, don't freak out about the increase in mass. What that means is that your muscle fibers become denser, and they hold everything in tighter. And this is such an important dealio, because what we found with people who go on a diet and lose a lot of weight is that their metabolism can be depressed, gosh, 12 months, 18 months, 2 years later. That's what the studies are showing. Why? Because they lost fast twitch muscle fibers. If you, and this is why I would love to do a study on my program at some point, because if you drop the inflammatory foods, become more insulin sensitive, get rid of the cravings, get your appetite under control. My gosh, I had someone email me going, do I have to eat? I'm not hungry anymore. I'm like, wow. You know,
mm-hmm.
But it gets to a point where you really, food doesn't have a stronghold on you anymore. You're not sitting here going, oh my gosh. And I used to be that person. I was like searching for bakeries to buy sourdough fat-free bread, right? It was a joke. And frozen fat-free yogurt. I was totally addicted to frozen yogurt. It was a daily thing. I was so addicted to it.
I don't picture that.
Oh, it makes me so angry when I think about it now because I was so duped, right? And struggling with my weight. And but if you are doing resistance style, burst style training like we talk about, and we probably should do a call on this, just thinking out loud, but you won't lose that fast twitch fiber and your metabolism won't go down. And that will help you become even more insulin sensitive. There's some really cool studies coming out about exercise showing how people who regularly exercise, and I'm not talking about walking. You know, walking we should be doing anyway. It's controlled falling. Walking's not exercise. Walking is part of our daily life. But when you're doing hard, intense exercise where you get hot, sweat, and it hurts a bit, it actually helps your body shift white fat into brown fat and burn it off. It has hormonal responses that help you burn fat better. So it just helps you be a fat burner, helps boost your metabolism, and let's face it, you look better naked.
Well, I have to ask you something because just to build on this question for a second, I know someone who started the cleanse and then started CrossFit the same day. I'm sure you're familiar with CrossFit. I mean,
yeah.
It's got to be
I
the
love
most
CrossFit.
Intense. It has to be the most intense things in the world. Now, she did not lose even, she didn't lose 1 pound. And I said, you know, did you do your inches? And did you take all your measurements prior to the cleanse? And she said, no. So,
well, I mean, this is where we're so, like, whacked. Does she look better?
She says that she had some less bloating. And it's kind of funny when you start to ask the questions because she said, well, then I had a cup of coffee with milk, and I was really shocked because I felt bloated immediately. Like, do you think that I might have a problem with milk? And I started laughing. And I said, well, really, what do you think, honey? So, I mean, you know, she's like, you're totally right. So the issue was is that she was frustrated because here she was in her mind being so, quote, unquote, good, you know, on the cleanse. And she started CrossFit that same day, and she didn't lose 1 pound, which she really had expected to do. So
that's why we've got to get away. We have got to learn. And honestly, you know, when I look at the tools that I like people to have for their success, sure, at the very least, a scale and a tape measure. But honestly, they're now so cheap. And I know the argument. I can already hear it. They're so cheap, these body fat scales. And I hear people say, yeah, but they're not accurate. You know what? They're accurate for you. Because here's what you need to do. You need to look at your total body water. They're all based on hydration. Your hydration should not be running all over the place. Your hydration varies if you're eating reactive foods and you're eating a high-carb diet. But if you have a really stable diet, low reactivity on the foods and lower on the carbs, then it should stay very stable and specific, and that's what you want to see. So the body composition.
Yeah, my body weight, my water, that's always very almost exactly the same, no matter
what
the day.
Good girl. That's because you're following the program.
Yeah, well, and I don't – well, it's just so easy. That's the thing is that people do the cleanse, and I know a lot of you are listening to this, and you say, okay, well, you know, how am I supposed to maintain? What am I supposed to do? And it really gives you such a good blueprint for the duration.
Yeah.
And it's not that – especially you start to get these recipes, you start to see what's on your plate. You're no longer tripped up when you go to your mother-in-law's. And they're serving all these different kinds of food. You know exactly what can go on your plate where you're going to feel good afterwards.
It makes things a non-issue.
It does. When you go to a party, when you travel, you know, the thing is that you do have this blueprint. This isn't just, you know, this isn't that kind of, remember that cleanse where you're just drinking water and lemon juice and, you know, cayenne pepper. I mean, this is really a way to live and how you can, it's very easy to maintain.
Well, what's really nice, too, is that, and I just got this from, it makes it a very simple story when you're somewhere and they're like, well, can't you eat the cheesecake? And you're going, God, I would love to eat the cheesecake, but you know what? It really hurts my stomach, and it's just not worth it.
Yeah, or
go,
I'm
oh,
going to
wake
up
off,
with
right.
Yeah, or I'm going to wake up with five pimples and it's not worth it. Or there's so many different benefits to just eating this way and being stable and knowing you're going to feel good. And a lot of the times what I've seen is that people are very motivated what they look like and very motivated to fit into their jeans, but they're also really motivated by the energy. I mean, if you have a big meeting or you have a lot going on the weekend, you're taking care of a lot of children or whatever you're doing, the energy, a lack of energy can make that absolute hell versus eating well and having the energy and being able to have fun and do what you want to do.
Yeah, I would say that of all of what I hear the most is people come in, people come for the weight loss,
yeah,
and they
right.
stay for the clear skin, energy, and focus.
Mm-hmm.
It's the brain power, man, is amazing.
Yep. So going back to number six, I wondered if JJ could speak about salt since so many of us are told to limit our salt intake. I would like to understand the difference between plain table salt and sea salt. I also have a friend who would like to do the cleanse but has some issues with sodium, and the shakes have 460 milligrams of salt, which she feels are too high for her. I'd like to know how to help her get around this problem.
Okay. First of all, who is telling people to limit their salt? And one of the things is when you really look at the way we're teaching people to eat, you don't even have to address salt. It becomes a non-issue. Because,
I know, but it's been on the narrative for you're 100%
God.
Right,
it's like,
but it's been in the narrative for
salt.
So long. I know. It's been in the narrative for so long. And I really believe it might be because of the soda, you know, had such a high sodium content and then, of course, put all the sugar to disguise the sodium content. I don't know if that's where it originated, but it's been in the narrative for such a
You know, it's funny
because
I'm looking through my, of course, I'm looking in my fridge, which isn't going to help. Because I was like going, okay, I'm going to prove this to people, but there's nothing in my refrigerator that I could pull out to show the sodium thing. But here's the deal. So I think American Heart Association or American Dietetic Association says don't do more than 2,400 milligrams of salt a day. What's the difference? Let's start with sodium salt versus sea salt. I think people should use sea salt. First of all, I'm a super taster, so I tend to like salt because super tasters do, because it sort of mellows the food. But sea salt is a supplement in my mind because it's loaded with minerals. And so the first thing you have to look at is table salt is crap. We should never use it. They've taken all the great minerals out of it, sold them to the supplement companies, and then are selling you basically the garbage. So all you
exactly.
get is the bad, the sodium, with none of the balance of the other minerals. In life, with everything, it's about balance. So if you are having potassium-rich foods and you're having sea salt, you're good. If you're eating processed foods loaded with sodium, you're bad. So it's all about – it's an essential nutrient. It's an essential mineral, but we're getting a load of it because they use it in every single processed food. Guess what? If you don't eat processed foods – it's a non-issue. The reason there's the 400-plus milligrams of sodium in the pea rice protein is because it's naturally occurring.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're adding sodium. It's naturally occurring. But guess what? You throw some kale or some spinach in there, you're having more vegetables throughout the day, you're fine. And where else are you going to be getting any sodium? We need some. In my
mm-hmm.
typical diet that I'm eating each day, I'm probably getting at max 1,000 milligrams of sodium a day, at max, because I have a shake every day, and then I use a little sea salt when I'm cooking. Sometimes, not always, if I'm roasting
vegetables. I do.
But other than that, I'm not eating processed foods. I'm not adding
exactly.
anywhere. So that's the first thing. It's like the 400 milligrams of sodium in the shake aren't the issue. The issue is the processed crap you're eating that's got all the sodium in it. You can, you know, get tons of it just going out to fast food.
Mm-hmm,
so watch
exactly.
what you're villainizing, number one. Number two, who is telling all this stuff? Because if you don't make the difference, it's like comparing a corn-fed cow to a grass-fed cow. They're totally different animals. Wild salmon to farm-raised salmon. Salt to sea salt. Totally different. One is bad for you in all those cases. One is healthy for you. But in every single situation, whether we're talking about coconut oil, raw nuts and seeds, I had to throw yet another jar of almond butter away because I was just a hog, you know, dark chocolate, the dose can be therapeutic or poison, so how much matters, right? So I get freaked out by this whole thing of limit your salt because it's like, I don't even understand what you're talking about. Don't eat processed foods, then you don't have to think about it. And guess what? If you've got adrenal issues, you will need some sea salt in your diet. Actually will support healthy adrenal function. In fact, that's one of my parts of my adrenal program is I tell people to use sea salt.
And sea salt tastes so much. It tastes so much better than the that white table stuff.
Ew,
whatever that is.
That stuff is terrible.
I know. It doesn't even taste normal, whatever it is. Great. That was a fantastic answer, and I do believe it's also been like the processed, you know, because of there's so much salt in the processed foods also, you know, I think that is how it sort of, you know, wove its way into the priority list. So I'm glad that you explained that because I'm sure a lot of people have this question.
Yeah, but I also, you know, it's like I think there's some things that have just gotten out there like watch your fat, you know?
Yes, right.
Watch your salt. It's like, watch your table salt and processed foods. Yeah, don't eat those.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but and yeah, don't have corn oil and soybean oil and, you know, those types of things. But you don't need to. You got to be calling it the right thing. And so, you know, just to globally put salt or globally fat, it always makes me insane. No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So the next, Leilani, we don't have any live caller. I know we have a lot of people listening, but we don't have any other questions live, correct?
We do have one question.
Okay, great.
Okay. Our first question comes from Jenny. Jenny, go ahead.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, Jenny.
I finished up the cleanse. I loved it. I got a lot out of it. And so I reintroduced the first day gluten. And I was looking for gluten that didn't have dairy and eggs and things in it, which was tricky. But I decided on some pretzels. And so I had one serving of pretzels, which was about 9 of them. And I spent the rest of the evening feeling like somebody had drugged me. I was so sluggish, I could barely function. And I wondered if that's a gluten problem or if that's just a general simple carb problem.
First of all, get rid of the idea of simple and complex carbs because they list a white potato as complex. So it's either it's got a load of fiber or it doesn't. But I doubt it because our program doesn't remove all the carbs. You're still getting some fruit in there. You're still getting, you know, some beans, quinoa. So it's not like it's not a no-carb diet. It's not a ketogenic diet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my guess is it's gluten. And by the way, I have people trial back gluten just to see what their reaction level is to it, but I do not believe anybody should eat gluten. I just want to know that if you do eat it, you know, there's going to be people that if they eat gluten, they're going to have to go to the hospital, and people who eat gluten and they just are going to have a, you know, like if I eat gluten, my fingers are a little swollen the next day. So I will know immediately that I did it. I feel off my game, but it's not like I'm going to have to go to the hospital. So I don't have to be as hypervigilant as, say, someone who's celiac. So that's where I'm always trying to range it with people. But I don't believe anyone should be eating gluten. In fact, Mark Hyman wrote a fabulous article about it today that's on my Twitter feed or on my Facebook page about 3 ways gluten makes you fat. So, and there's that wonderful Wheat Belly book, too.
Yeah, Wheat Belly. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I felt that that there wasn't much good that I could think of to eat that had gluten in it. But it's sometimes in things like you were talking about the French fries that you're not aware of.
Right.
And so it becomes a real challenge to know if you're avoiding gluten or not.
Well, and that's why I like people to know what response level do you have. Because if you're someone who has, you know, who's celiac or highly sensitive, then you have to become highly hypervigilant. You know, just like Jackie's husband, but we also shouldn't be eating French fries, so that makes sense.
Right.
Right.
Right. You're right.
Right. Okay.
Well, thank you, Jenny. It's great to hear your question. We will go on to the next one. This is my sixth day on the PT cleanse. I'm using the chocolate shake in MediBulk twice daily and having a salad with chicken typically as my third meal, taking the detox packet. So my question is this. JJ said that your BM should not float or smell, and personally, since I started this new regimen, I find that mine are very dark in color, almost black. They float and smell. Should I be concerned, or is this typical for the beginning of the cleanse?
Typical. If it doesn't normalize in, you know, a week or two, then let's talk about it. But that's real typical.
Okay, so write in if it doesn't normalize after a week or two. But
send photos if it doesn't normalize. I'm kidding.
Send it in the mail.
Yeah.
Okay,
cool right. Sample if it doesn't change.
Next one, JJ's explained how probiotics are helpful for one type of gut imbalance, but Berber caps are used for another problem, like too much bad bacteria.
Yeah, I've talked through that already. So.
Okay, oh, that's right. So next one.
That's why I put it in there.
Great.
But she does say in there, I have bowel urgency and explosive diarrhea. Oh, that's so awful.
Yeah.
And even when I avoid these foods, I still have loose stools. So what I would definitely do is make sure you're taking probiotics that can really help and make sure that you are using a good fiber source. I will tell you to go look for a very specific fiber because of what you have going on called sun fiber. They use it in the hospitals to help normalize stools. So I would look for sun fiber. I would make sure that you are taking probiotics. I would do the PermaClear that we talked about for leaky gut. And then it should not take a year. It should be a matter of months that you're much better. But really keep your food journal going. Keep logging on Peer Trainer so that you can look back and see what has, you know, when you then do have any kind of loose stools, you can go back and go, okay, what was it? Which did it? And so that's why the food reporting, it's one of the reasons logging your food is such a big deal.
Yeah, and you can write that in your personal notes if you don't want all your group to know about that. Just use the personal note section at the bottom if you want to track sort of your stool, variations and, you know, problems. It's a good thing to be able to flip back, and you can go right back on the weeks and see what's going on. Next one, background. I am 47-year-old premenopausal person. In 2009, I had... Wait a minute, isn't that the same? Yeah, we did that one. Oh,
yep,
these two are repeating. Great. Okay, Leilani, do we have any other live calls?
Not at this time.
Great. Okay, this is a record. We have finished this particular Q&A in less than an hour and a half.
Maybe
without
we're catching
20,
up.
Without 20 more questions on the horizon. This is exciting. I feel like a to-do list. I feel like I can actually cross something off versus something just continuing and continuing. But please, if you have any other questions, just send them to cleanse@peertrainer.com. We'll fit them into the next Q&A or any sort of follow-up or anything you might want to clarify. I know that sometimes when you go through the cleanse, you have some interesting things that happen, and you might get a little nervous or a little scared of, oh, I don't know, this has never happened before, and you're doing such new things that it's a very interesting process that your body goes through. For me, when I do my Egoscue stretches and exercises every morning, and when I haven't done them in a little bit, sometimes the pain, I'll have a pain in my knee, and then it goes to the pain in my back, or it goes to a pain in my foot until it all sort of works its way out and I'm not in any pain whatsoever anymore. So, you know, just sort of be mindful of the process and, you know, try to go with your observations versus sort of jumping to more of a panic state with the different kinds of things that go on. So, JJ, anything else to add, or we will recontinue in the next call?
We will recontinue on the next call, so just keep your questions coming, and we will answer them. And we were more streamlined today, weren't we? Or were
yes.
we?
Yes. Okay. Oh, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. So thanks again, JJ, and please keep your questions coming, and we'll see you soon.
All righty. Bye.
Bye.